Hi there. Thanks for listening to Alt Latino. We want to tell you about Up First, the new morning news podcast from NPR. Now, when news moves fast, Comey, Sessions, the Middle East, Up First is the quick morning update on what happened and what you need to start the day. Wake up with Up First tomorrow morning on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to your podcasts. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This week, we're going to tell you stories. Three profiles of young people and their art who are giving back to their communities, redefining what it means to be a hero, and reclaiming tradition. Our first stop is in Kansas City, Missouri, in a visit with the band Making Movies. Now, for them, making music is much more than a career. It's a way to tell stories and help their community. Brothers Diego and Enrique Chi were born in Panama, but raised in Kansas City. They started the band almost 10 years ago, first as an emo band, but as they began to develop an awareness of their own identities, their music began to change. Now the band is gathering fans from all over the country by way of their performances at clubs and festivals. The band has a new album out called I Am Another You, which is bound to attract even more fans. Alt Latino contributor Vicky Diaz-Camacho filed this story from Kansas City.
In a small rehearsal space in southwest Kansas City, the members of Making Movies polish live versions of songs they are about to release on an upcoming album. Storytelling is the crux of Making Movies' latest album, I Am Another You. And those stories come from their hometown, Kansas City. Their city inspires them. Their family inspires them. And so do the kids they teach. In addition to being very busy musicians, brothers Enrique and Diego are also instructors at the Matty Road Center, a nonprofit behavioral health, arts, and social service center. Their work there showed them there was a big need for offering music education to the young people of Kansas City. So, 5 years ago, the brothers opened a week-long summer camp and after-school program with the help of friends in the education and music industries. This is Diego.
When we started with this music camp, you know, we're offering access to any kind of music education. These kids were hungry for anything they could get their hands on.
It has grown to the point the brothers had to hire a staff, funded through grants, to continue to teach Kansas City kids.
That's always been part of our ethic, part of our ethos, to stay in touch with the communities that we're a part of. It's like a chemical friend with his curious trends, the weirdo wig and the spirit sick, saying if the world goes up in flames, well, I don't care, I ain't never had enough. No, I ain't never had enough. 'Cause I can feel you falling through, and I said stop right where.
Enrique says stories on their first album, A La Deriva, were based on the Kansas City neighborhoods where their students grew up.
It was a neighborhood here in Kansas City, but it's a neighborhood that could exist anywhere. It exists everywhere, actually. It's the kind of forgotten immigrant neighborhoods where the kids are grow up pretty disconnected from the rest of society.
Kids like Humberto Garcia. The brothers first met Garcia when he was 13 years old for guitar lessons. Garcia was raised in northeast Kansas City, a notoriously dangerous neighborhood. As a kid, he says he didn't do well in school and many of his friends got into trouble.
I lived in front of a whorehouse, and there would be like 20 people living in that house, and some of those women had children, and their daughters or their sons would be living in that house. They raided the house like at least 3 times.
Because of his circumstances in school and at home, teachers recommended Garcia participate in the Matty Rhodes program. Despite teachers telling him he was going to be a dropout, his time at Matty Rhodes introduced him to a life away from the violence, drugs, and danger. Plus, he says the brothers in Making Movies changed his life. 2 years after he met Diego and Enrique, they hired him to be the Making Movies roadie.
Because of them, they show me that there's a whole different world out there that wants to experience a different culture.
For the members of Making Movies, their work off the bandstand as activists and educators comes from being raised in a home where love was as abundant as music. Enrique.
The influence that our family has on the music that we make can't be overstated in that capacity. I think our family's influence the music we make and why we make music.
Their parents are from Panama, and Enrique tells a story of how their mother, Eloisa, played and danced to her favorite salsa or cumbia music. And their dad, also named Enrique, who was really more of a rock and roll listener, taught both brothers how to play the guitar.
And my dad liked rock and roll a lot more than he liked Latin music. He always liked the Beatles and Pink Floyd, and he liked progressive artists. He liked anyone who would tell you a story in their songs.
The Chief family would often listen to Panamanian salsa star Ruben Blades. Blades' lyrics and Latin rhythms inspired making movies frontman Enrique.
He was a storyteller, and it was poetic. That became the biggest singular influence on me.
A song on their newest album, called Verdad, hints to the salsa star's influence, both in lyric and in sound. Enrique says he thought of his family, more specifically his grandfather, when making the album.
Through this old man's perspective of the world, we crafted a new album that outlines the stories of three young men, three very different young men from different parts of the world that each face a huge crisis, a huge turning point in their life.
This album is a conceptual album, one that their mentor and Los Lobos member Steve Berlin said he pushed for. Berlin says he wanted to see the band's growth, both in their sound and the topics they chose to write about.
But I really pushed hard that they sort of change their approach and not write to this template, but to really write songs that have deeper meaning. And they, to their great credit, they really did it. They came back and wrote not only choruses, but, you know, practically an opera, which wasn't exactly what I asked for, but that's what came back.
And Diego Chi says the album also reflects a connection to a deeper cultural philosophy.
We called it I Am Another You, which is an echo to a phrase from the Mayans that they say, En la quech a la quin, which is a way of greeting one another. It says, I am another you, and then the person responds back, and you are another me. That is a way that they can see each other on a human level. And so when we have an administration that is cutting the arts, and they're cutting funding to the humanities, this is a time when, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in the world, there's a lot of fear of one another as human beings. This is a time when we need to be the most human that we can be. I mean, that's why we call the arts the humanities. They're part of what make us the same race. And so our music speaks to that, and I think that is an important message for today.
Reporting for Alt Latino, I'm Vicky Diaz Camacho in Kansas City. Si te acuerdas de mí.
And now we turn to superheroes. Now, you might have heard of Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Black Widow, or even Superman, but have you heard of America Chavez? She is Marvel Comics' no-nonsense powerhouse, who also happens to be a queer Latinx superheroine. America has been around since 2011 when she was created by Joe Casey and Nick Dragotta, and through some changes and switching at Marvel, she became an even more popular character. So popular that now in 2017, Marvel has decided to have a new creative team behind her. The new solo series is being illustrated by Joe Quiñones, and it's written by young adult novelist Gabby Rivera, who also identifies as queer and Latinx. Now, you may know Gabby through her young adult novel, Juliet Takes a Breath, in which both of those identities are part of the narrative, and they are also fundamental to America's character in this new series. NPR's Camilo Garzón visited with Gabby in Brooklyn, and he says before the interview even started, there was already what he called fiesta energy between the two of them.
Yes, this is going to be so fun.
I know, right? So let's get this party started. I asked her about the idea of a mainstream comic book character that is both queer and Latinx.
Yeah, it's definitely an identifier. And again, like gaining a little more mainstream acceptance. My cousins can be like, yeah, Gabby's like my queer Latina writer cousin. There's not as much stigma, I think, as there used to be.
That kind of thinking is what led Marvel to Gabby and her boys, which would now be America's boys. To get that character right, Gabby had to draw on her own experiences as a comic fangirl.
Oh my goodness. I feel like now I am a tremendous superhero fan. In the last 6 months, I've read more comics than I have in my whole life. And wow, like what took me so long? This is incredible. Reading like old issues of the X-Men, old stuff, whatever I ask for, they send me.
Oh, that's awesome. So basically you have just Marvel catering to your needs right now.
No, no, I have Marvel as like the best like research sidekick.
Oh my God. How did you find out that you were going to write for Marvel? How did that come to be?
They emailed me, like super casually, just emailed me. And I really thought it was spam. Like, what? Like, you know, when you get those emails where it's like, hello, I'm a prince from another land. And I thought that at first. And it was a really sweet email from Will Moss, who is editing America. And he said that he was on like looking for authenticity for America Chavez. So the email stated that he read my book, Juliet Takes a Breath, and felt that the honest, bouncy voice of Juliet would work well in certain respects with America. So did I want to write for Marvel?
Oh my God. So did you like freak out?
Oh my goodness. I've told this story a couple of times and it's really funny because yes, I did freak out. I was in my 9-to-5 job and I'm just, I think I had just done the thing where you go to like the water machine and like, you know, very boring day. And then I got this email and I just go running down the like hallways to the elevators and make it to the floor, the bottom floor, and call my mom, tell her everything. And she was just like, oh my God. Nana, that's so amazing. Oh my God. Thank you, God. You know, like just being
the typical mommy thing. No, that's awesome. Going back to the comic, tell us more about America Chavez. Who is she?
America Chavez is a powerhouse of a young woman. She can punch into other dimensions, pretty much like punch first, ask questions later if there's any question asking that even happens. She's got incredible one-liners and she's that one that you want on your team, you know what I mean? That'll just have your back and won't get involved in like the chisme or the BS and get the job done.
So I was asking you about like who is she, but
yes,
what is she now trying to find out?
America is having a moment that is focused solely on her. So that in and of itself like opens you up to all these complexities, right? So she's a superhero, but she wants to step away from that just a little bit. I don't know if she gets to, but she has enrolled at Sotomayor University.
So cool.
Yeah. So she's taking a minute. Also, she wants to have fun and get to know people and have a little less pressure on her. And also, we're going to explore her origins.
And let me ask you about that. People have been asking like, okay, so where is she from? Or like, all these questions that we get asked, I think, every day, right?
Yes.
How's that been? How do you think that you're going to be presenting that in the coming issues?
Thus far, I've definitely been thinking about it a lot because it's like, you can say, okay, America's going to be Puerto Rican or she's going to be Dominican or she's going to be this. But also, what does it mean to kind of like explore it in a superhero kind of way? And you're going to see how different cultures under this Latino blanket have influenced her.
Okay, speaking of influences, let's talk music. Did you listen to specific bands when you were creating her?
Oh my God, Girl in a Coma. Just Girl in a Coma been like such a soundtrack to my writing for Juliet Takes a Breath and for America Chavez. Like, I'm of the generation where I grew up listening to Nirvana and I grew up listening to Soundgarden and Pearl Jam.
Oh my God, grunge.
No, that part of the 90s did not escape me. In my other life, in another dimension, mm-hmm. where Latino people and Afro-Latino people are like centered in a way that is respectful, Girl in a Coma is like Metallica to me.
Oh yeah, they're a great band. I was also looking at the cover of the second issue and I compared it with a picture of Beyoncé.
Mm-hmm.
So that second issue is made in her honor, right?
Yeah, I love Beyoncé. This Lemonade album has just been like so good for the psyche and like just such a declaration of like pro-black, like love, sentiment, you know? Oh my God, Bomba Estéreo. It's so good. And so in our music, there's like that joy, right? That's another element that I really want to bring into America. I don't know what folks expect, but I'm very conscious of not doing a comic that is so steeped in like oppression mm-hmm. and politics that it loses that fun and joy. I kind of would almost rather err on the side of, damn, here's just a comic. Like here is just a fun, exciting, wild ride for you to enjoy, lift us up a little bit out of the like everyday hardships. That's the spirit of comics, I think, in general.
Right. So it also speaks to universal experiences?
Yeah. And that's where I want to like center America, in those classic moments of triumph and joy and heartache and warmth, that connection, you know, to the everyday human experience.
And Gabby's right. Now, comic book characters like America Chavez are not only going to continue expressing something more universal, we're going to see them look and think more like who we are on our everyday lives. Latinx, goofy, full of life. And there is a superhero that walks among us, a queer and Latinx that we can all look up to, ready to take on the challenges of our world. And her name is Gabby Rivera. For Al Latino, I'm Camilo Garzón in Washington, D.C.
And now a visit with Mexican vocalist Natalia Lafourcade, who won 5 Latin Grammys in 2015, plus another Grammy Award in 2016 for her breakthrough 6th album, Hasta la Raíz. Following up on that success, she did something completely unexpected, even to her. For her new album, which she called Musas, she did an exquisite about-face, away from the heavily produced pop music to stripped-down traditional sounds. Music writer Marisa Arbona Ruiz says the album is brimming with themes of love and nostalgia, and it came together in ways Lafourcade called magical and otherworldly. Here's Marisa's story.
Enredaste en tu mirada, me abrazaste con todos mis defectos. Tú sí sabes quererme.
Natalia Lafourcade's new album is a stirring homage to Mexico, an acoustic tribute to the past, present, and future, to pioneering artists who blaze trails into our hearts, to culture, to love, and to friendship. Lafourcade had been traveling, performing internationally, when she began yearning for the traditional Mexican sounds she grew up with.
There was a moment when I felt like I needed to go back to music in a different way, just like having music at home, just playing music as a normal thing, not for shows and concerts. And maybe if I call these two all beautiful guys that play this wonderful music on their classic guitar. Maybe I can have them at home and we can just do some music.
And so a very personal project began. She reached out to those two old beautiful guys, Los Macurinos, a senior duo in their 80s who were once frequent collaborators with the late and legendary ranchera singer Chavela Vargas. They got together to play old songs by legendary Mexican and other Latin American composers and recorded themselves just for fun.
I was just trying to work with those songs and those songwriters that I admire a lot. So I decided to go through Violeta Parra's music, Simón Díaz, Atahualpa Yupanqui, María Grieber, Agustín Lara's. At first, I wasn't thinking about making an album right away.
But that soon changed when her team heard the recordings. They persuaded La Furcada to make the project her next album. So she began to select songs that resonated with her and explored writing a few of her own. Making the album would become a transformational and even spiritual experience.
Working with traditional music and exploring into that has made me feel like stronger with my art, you know, to sing even in a different way that I was doing it like 6 years ago. Like going through that traditional and through that music, like, has given me a lot that I needed. Despidiendo últimamente todo lo que sucedió. Hoy saludo mi presente y gusto de este dulce adiós. Voy a navegar en tu puerto azul. Quisiera saber de dónde vienes tú.
To bring a song's deeply felt lyrics to life, the most skilled vocalists strive to channel the emotions of the song, inhabiting it as part of their own experience.
Y esta soledad tan profunda que en el canto de las olas.
On this project, La Furcada did that and more, tapping into the mystical, calling forth the artistic spirit and actual spirits of Mexico.
There were many spirits around. That's why the album is called Muses, because there was a moment when I was like, okay, I can feel that there is this strong energy.
One of those spirits was her dear friend, Rocío Sagaón, whose precious life was cut short in 2015. She inspired La Furcada to transform her grief into Rocío de Todos los Campos, a hauntingly beautiful song.
Rocío de todos los campos, Rocío de sal en el mar, tu baile hipnotiza la luna y el viento comienza a cantar.
Rocío of all the fields, Rocío of the salt in the sea, your dancing hypnotizes the moon, the wind begins to sing, you light the fire in the night, you listen to the crickets talk, you undress your body and soul to swim in the water.
Libre serás para siempre, para siempre. And she was present the moment when I wrote that song, you know, like she was one of my best friends. And she passed like 2 years ago. And when I was crying because of her leaving this world, she came to my dream and she was like, hey, don't cry. You should go and write a song about my life. Rocío de los corazones que van a tu casa y llorar,
rocío de todos los cielos, de fiestas y de soledad. Tú enciendes el fuego en la noche, escuchas fantasmas andar, desvistes tu cuerpo y tu alma para en el agua nadar.
Lafourcade and one of her album producers, Gustave Guerrero, also created a nurturing sonic embrace for Mexico to soothe its suffering with the track Mexicana Hermosa.
Mexicana hermosa, bandera latina, no te pongas triste, solo mira el cielo. Si la noche se cubre de estrellas y a nosotros pasamos el duelo, si la noche se cubre de estrellas y a nosotros calmamos la pena. No te pongas triste, solo mira el cielo.
We were having this conversation about the song that will say something about Mexico, but in a way like when you want somebody that you love to make him feel better. It's like, Mexico, come on, o sea, let's move on. Let's see like all the beautiful and wonderful things about us.
En tus ojos negros, doblo mis apuestas. Hoy tu tierra marchita y eterna. Ven a ser toda luz en su cuesta. Hoy tu tierra marchita y eterna roba besos y da primavera.
After being signed with a record label at age 17, Natalia Lafourcade is now in her early 30s and has matured through her career and has developed a greater sense of purpose with her music.
Yes, there was a moment when, not long ago, actually, it was probably just like 5 years ago, when I understood that it was a gift, and that whenever you realize that you get a gift and you can share it with others and make them happy, it's amazing. Even the ego disappears, because it's not about your ego or about like feeling that you're the best in the world. No, it's just like, okay, I'm gonna sing. This is what I can do. I'm gonna do my best. I hope you like it.
With these words of enlightenment, Natalia Lafourcade's journey of a higher sonic love is just beginning. Reporting for Out Latino, I'm Marisa Arbona Ruiz.
Thank you to our Alt Latino reporting team, Vicky Diaz-Camacho, Camilo Garzon, and Marisa Arbona Ruiz. You can find these stories on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And let us know what you thought about this music magazine format. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thank you for listening.